Welcome to GamerCast, this is episode 75. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul. And this is the episode for the 10th of June 2007.
Oh yeah. Some good games were released on Friday. Many months of hard-earned cash were spent. I could only buy... Ooh, creaky chair. I was only able to buy one of the two games I needed to buy. And you'll have to wait till next month. Dagnabbit.
See, if GamerCast had more funds, GamerCast could buy the games for us.
But, bonus feature, because of a boring night last night over some friends, we decided to rent a scary movie. So, Sarah nipped down to Blockbusters while me and Kerry were racing each other on Colin McRae Rally 4 on the PlayStation. Old school. We're talking PlayStation 1 here. It was like racing Lego blocks with wheels. Anyway, that's beside the point. Sarah went and got herself a Blockbuster card. So it means that what I might do is, because I've got quite a lot of Xbox 360 games, but only one of them's actually mine, when I hand back all the games, because I'll only have one, I think I might go down and start renting out games from Blockbuster, stuff that I wouldn't normally buy, for doing reviews on.
Ah, that's cool, man.
So I could get something, we could bring it up here, get the 360 up, have a bit of a blast, and we could review some more games for you, because obviously some people have been saying, what about this game, what about that, but it, you know, it's a hard-earned cash, it's 50 quid down the drain or 40 quid down the drain for an Xbox 360 game we might not want to play. You never get the retail value back anyway when you resell, so makes it a bit easier. 4 quid, week, play on that, we can review it. So we might start reviewing some more games that are out of our purchase boundary, which would be quite cool.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Good idea.
So what are you doing about your gamertag thing?
I'm pretty much stumped. I think my
You're creating a new gamertag.
Well, if I create a new gamertag, I've got to start with zero score on my gamer score.
But the alternative is have a new messenger list.
A new messenger list and tell everybody...
Choose.
Yeah. To be honest, I might just stick with the boring action and be the lonely son of a bitch who can't be found on the Xbox 360 when he's not on his PC. Just have one MSN and one GamerCast. My GamerCast tag.
But with that trial thing, you might need to create a new account.
You think?
But I don't know, I've never done it.
Yeah, I would have thought it wouldn't make you, because say for instance you had a silver anyway and then you bought a game and you were like, you've already got silver and you've never had your Xbox 360 online. Or you create silver and you've started playing on the game, then you decide to get broadband and go online and yeah.
Maybe.
I'm sure it'll just add
stuff. Maybe. But you definitely can't use them if you've already got gold and like put the subscription thing back every 3 days.
But I do know that my Puma 32 tag has gone. So I can create a tag on that one, that my original.
Yeah, game. Because you've got like 5,000, dude. I have one gamer tag, and that's it. One. You have like 12.
No, I've got one. The other one's been destroyed. But it means I've got a free email account to create a new gamer score tag on. But it's the fact that I'm going to lose all my information from my gamer score tag, which.
Well, what have you actually got on there, dude? Let's investigate Adam's tag.
Adam's tag, brought to you live.
Ooh.
Go to your friends list.
I am.
I am one of your friends.
Butch.
Butch is online and he's playing.
Well, you've only got 1,472 score anyway.
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah, I've got drips and drabs from lots of games.
210 on PGR, 20 on Forza Motorsport, 80 Dead Rising, 350 Oblivion. Well, I don't know then, dude, just change your messenger thing.
Yeah, I might do. I might just. Or what I might do is keep my MSN messenger. Here's the plan. I'm going to keep signing in on my PC with my MSN Messenger, right? But what I'm going to do is I'll sign in for a temporary basis only with my Gojin at Gamercast.
So you want me to have two Adams on my list?
No, what?
Do you know how annoying that would be?
Well, no, because what will happen is once I get you, Craig, you know, people like Craig, people I play who I would play games with, people who would really give a shit if they
don't swear, bad language.
Beep. We'll beep it out.
No, I can't bother to do that.
People who care that I'm playing my Xbox 360 and would like to join in on playing games with me that are on my friends list on my MSN Messenger, I'll give them my new MSN Messenger thing, and that means that they'd be able to see me while I'm online. But otherwise, if I'm playing Xbox 360, I don't want one of my mates from uni who doesn't play video games, and she's like, "Hey Adam, how's it going? How's your relationship and all this?" And I'm
can't
like,
talk
"I'm trying
gaming.
To race." You know, I want those people not to be able to see me online. So I think I'm just going to make a new Messenger list. So I'll just add
for gamer people.
Yeah, I'll add you, Rudis, and so on and so forth onto that list. So
that really annoys me.
What?
Capital franking letters.
Dead Rising.
I mean, it looks disgusting, and they do it just to try and like highlight their game a bit more. And it's always Japanese. It's either Japanese companies or it's EA that do it. Nobody else does it.
I think it's because the actual text for the game is actually like that.
That's irrelevant. The text for Forza Motorsport is all capitals. But, you know, come on, it's annoying.
Okay.
Yeah, woo.
Right, first bit of news. We've got some Sony church bashing. Sony have bashed a church. They ran several soldiers into there. They had a massive fight and it blew people up and loads were dead inside this church in England.
Right. One. No. Two.
No. Aw. Well, what did they do then?
Well, Sony used some cathedral in some place. Where is it?
They've said it's the Church of England, though. They don't actually state where it is.
Manchester.
Ah.
Manchester Cathedral was featured in the PlayStation 3 video game Resistance Fall of Man. And basically the church, cathedral slash priesty slash bishop slash religious fundamentalist slash Jesus is claiming Sony didn't have permission to use the church.
But it wasn't the fact that they've just used the outside of the church. They have completely copied the interior of the church down to
and
the
they had a huge battle in there.
Yeah, lots of people were killed and blown up and stuff. So the church was taken
Jesus style.
I want to know how the hell they found out. Do they like play?
Yeah, hell yeah.
All the bishops, they play.
Well, no, it's probably one of their flock reported on. You know,
then they took him out the back and smacked him loads because, why are you playing a game against God?
It's not against God, it's against whatever it is. Some scary, freaky monster dudes. But it's not a good game anyway.
Nope, it's crap.
So yeah, that's fun.
Yay, joy. Well, box art for the newly coming out soon Xbox 360 title that you've all been waiting for, Halo 3. It is. We mentioned this last week, but they've actually finally released it, and it is not what we were expecting. To be honest, it was actually...
To be honest, I still think it's crap.
Yeah, Paul's not too keen on it. Although the picture that they've used is a picture that I found on their official website, which I used as a background drop on my computer at the moment. The Collector's Edition box, which will be a little bit like the box that they've used for...
Yeah, we know what the collector's edition looks like.
Yeah, the tin, but the outside sleeve graphics that were like Forza and Gears of War. That one has got basically the picture of Master Chief with a swirling cloud behind him.
Swirly cloud.
Mm. But the tin itself is extremely cool. I am liking that. And that's what you'll get, exactly the same as what you get when you get the ultimate edition that comes with the helmet in it.
Maybe.
Or is that going to have something different inside?
Well, I guess it'd be the same.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be cool. Legendary edition. Features a sculpted Spartan helmet.
The most collectible piece of Halo merchandise ever conceived.
No. Well, it is at the moment, but if you want the ultimate helmet, you actually make a helmet that you can put on. You can have it, so you've got...
Everyone's got those nowadays.
Proper metal helmet.
You still need to make us full-blown costumes for some launch events or something.
Yeah, Halo costumes would be cool.
Oh, I've got an excellent way to advertise Gamercast.
What?
I'll write it on the side of one of my Forza cars.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a Gamercast.
Yeah, we can sell it for like loads of money. Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, I'll do a Gamercast. We need to find what car should Gamercast be on?
What if we do it on a really cheap one?
And then...
To start off with and see if anyone buys. And then, but we lock the design so nobody else can copy it.
Yeah.
And then we just stamp it on like loads of cars and just keep flogging them. Yeah, whoop.
I've got to make a Wii one.
You can make an Xbox one, because it's already got all the Xbox logos.
Yeah, as well. I was thinking might do that sort of thing, get the shape on there.
It's a V. What they really need is a way to do it on the PC. Instead of faffing around with all these stupid little things, and I end up deleting the whole layer, which is like everything I've done. And then I'm like, okay, how do I undo that? And I can't find an undo. And it's annoying.
It's a shame that you can't download, like go to an area where you could upload to your gamer tag on their website a piece of graphic. You know, it has to be a set size and it ends up being a layer that you could stretch, make bigger, and you could have lots of these, or you'd literally just stretch it over the whole side of the car. Depending how you want to design it. So do it all in Photoshop. There's some really hard stuff that you needed to do. Even if it was just like, I need a pair of eyes to go on top of this face that I've done using shapes. And then upload it, and it has to be a certain size, like you'd upload to a web page, and then you can download it onto Forza through your gamer score tag. Show it from the
Forza.
Web. That'd be cool. And then you could just shove it on.
Anyway, you're going to talk about Dead Rising.
Yes, Dead Rising, a friend of mine felt sorry for me because I literally had on the Xbox 360 Project Gotham Racing 3 and Gears of War, which were lent to me by Paul.
I want them back.
Oh, bring them back up.
I want to play PGR3.
Yeah.
Why would I want to play Forza when I can play PGR3 and annoy Adam?
Damn right.
I want my game back, man.
Alright, I'll bring it back up. Dead Rising.
It's a game with zombies.
It says everything it says on the... It does what it says on the tin. You're basically locked. You're a wartime photographer locked in a mall.
Wartime photographer. Lame.
Yeah. Locked in a mall with a camera. And you've got 72 hours to hang in the mall. And you can do whatever you want. You can hide around a corner for those 72 hours. If you really wanted to...
Can I ask why?
Why?
Why are you locked in a mall?
Right, basically, the start of the game, you're in a helicopter, and you don't know it's zombies. He thinks it's a riot. He's got a tip that something's going on, and he goes in a helicopter, and anybody with a car wouldn't have got in there because the army's roadblocked the whole little... It's a tiny little poxy town in America. He comes in, and you have to go around. In that first part of the game, you're from the helicopter, and you're taking photographs, and you get points for the photographs. And as you come through, there's lots of people being attacked, and you just see these guys near enough chuck a girl. She basically chucks herself off a building, and she shoots this bloke. But you don't realise there are zombies coming at her because you're so far away, and the zoom doesn't get up close enough for him to realise. And then you get buzzed by two Black Hawks coming down, trying to get you to leave the area. So he demands this tourist helicopter pilot to, because he sees there's a helipad on the mall. And he wants to go land on the mall because he thinks he might be able to get some good shots from there and find out what's going on.
Journalists and photographers. Not good.
So he jumps off the helicopter when it swoops down to there, goes down, and then he speaks to a guy, and he's like, yeah, yeah, sort of thing. And he goes, look for yourself, and you look, and you just see all these people mulling outside. He goes downstairs, and the cutscene shows you coming downstairs, and you're like staring around, seeing what's going on. And this guy comes up saying, what are you doing? Stop staring at girls, you've got to help us. And he's like, go get some barricades. And he was like, why? And he goes, why haven't you seen it? Zombies, man, zombies. And he's like, zombies? What are you on about? And he's like, look at them. What else would you call that? And there's all the, and it just cuts to these zombies literally headbutting the glass going, so he tells you to go get some barricades. At this point, this woman, just old woman, grabs you and is like, have you seen my baby? Have you seen my baby?
Yes.
And then she goes, I can't leave without my doggy. I can't leave out. She's got this poodle called Madonna.
Zombie dog.
So as you're going around, you can't get any access to the mall because everything's shut. And you're walking around and you go up to this bit of wood to go grab it. As soon as you get it, you get this cutscene. You see the woman. She screams. She goes, my baby, my baby. And she sees the poodle. It's outside the first set of doors with all the zombies. So she unlocks the door, opens it up, and this zombie comes out, bites her on the neck, and starts mounting her and rips her apart. The dog runs in, and all the zombies fall in. So you basically got to pick up whatever you could, and you literally got a choice of a park bench.
Yeah, like you could just pick up a park bench.
You can't do much with it. You literally swing and then fall over. 2x4, and a baseball bat, and an LCD monitor. So I went for the baseball bat because it's light, you can swing faster, and you've got to fight your way through the zombies, go upstairs, then the story starts unfolding, and you have to go around the mall, and you can take pictures of people, help people get back to the security office, keep them safe, or go around and try and find out what is happening, because there are these people that are there, and they're to do with Homeland Security, which is to do with, like, protecting the United States, and their agents.
The US, like, secret police.
Yeah. And they're there for some reason, so you're trying to find out why they're there. So you're mulling around, and you can pick food up, which you can throw at zombies, but you basically press the attack trigger to eat it, and then you can pick up all sorts of weapons. My favourite one so far is a golf club, because it's actually only got so many hits. It's got 24 hits with a golf club before it runs out, because you've got 24 golf balls. Now, if you pull the right-hand trigger when you're using any device, say for example you've got a baseball bat, you pull the right trigger, you'll throw the baseball bat at someone. If you've got the golf stick, it comes to this really nice Tiger Woods shot, where you can actually swing and shoot the golf ball and like hit the zombies in the heads with the golf balls, which is absolutely amazing. And the same way, we've got a bowling ball. Bowling ball is really hard to use, but you can pretty much one shot a zombie in the head and kill him. But if you go to it, it goes to this really nice camera shot for bowling, and you'll do a nice bowling action, and you can bowl over zombies. And skateboards, they're not weapons, you just use them to ride on to get around quick. I've gone into the hardware store. Now that's the fun bit. I've got sledgehammer. Not very fast action, but you pretty much put the head of the zombie into the ground and crush it when you hit him. Gardening shears, a scythe, 2x4, lead piping, chainsaw. Chainsaw you can only carry. You can't swap it for other weapons, so you have to have it in your hand at all time or drop it. But that's cool. You hit the attack button, he goes... And as you walk up to a zombie, you hit them, and then you can literally take a swing, but when you do it, you've got so much inertia, you spin on the spot, and you have to steady yourself to attack. So it's a slow attacking, but you pretty much can take out every zombie that's coming at you at once, and you chop them in half. What else have we got? Everything from coat hangers, I've picked up a packet of DVDs and started firing the DVDs at them. Plates, I've got...
What does that do?
It hits them in the head and eventually they fall over, and sometimes they get up, sometimes they don't. Normally it's the head injury from falling over does it. The best one I've found is a high powered spaceman's laser arm. Because I went up into the cinema and they've got this new animation that's coming out in that world of theirs. And it's like Buzz Lightyear. And you can pick up clothing as well. And I put on his helmet and I was like, cool, I got the space helmet on. And I picked up the gun. I was like, and it's like an arm. You put it on. I was like, wow, laser gun. Shoot it, and all you get, boom, and it shoots out a foam ball. And I had to shoot around about 30 of these at a zombie before it fell over, but it's just comical value. The other thing that's really good is the fact that you were able to put objects on zombies' heads. So far, the only two things I found is traffic cones. So I went around going, putting traffic cones on their heads, and you all walk around. And if you take a picture, it classifies as a comedy shot, so you get loads of points for that. Because you have to go around taking pictures of everything you do, and you can save some, and you can go into your photo album and lock them so that you'll never lose these classic photos. Otherwise, they're just there. You've got points for them, and as you go through, you'll circulate and they'll delete. I found a shower fitting, just a pipe with a shower head on, and you can go up and stab it into the top of a zombie's head, and all their blood starts gushing out the shower head, and they kind of wander around, kind of freaking out a bit, and then they drop down dead. That's quite good for a shot. Samurai sword, and that's the best weapon I found, because like the baseball bat, it's fast action, but instead of hitting the zombie, he falls to the ground, he gets back up, and then you pummel him one more time. You literally take a zombie clean in half. So,
yeah, nice. Right.
Or an arm off. I managed to get a zombie and take his leg off, and he hopped around trying to chase me. Because one or two of them are quite fast. They've got a bit of a speed behind them, and some of them are very kind of hobbly. Storyline's pretty good. I'm liking the fact the costumes are changeable, and you can download ones off Microsoft Marketplace contents, which are free. If you feel like you want to change, you can change your clothes. You can go to the sunglasses section, put sunglasses on. Because the whole concept is that you've got a camera, your batteries will run out in your camera. So you've got to go to electrical stores or the camera shop or places that would sell batteries and nick batteries off the side and put them in your camera. As well as you've got your health, so you have to keep eating to feed yourself. And also you've got this thing called PP, so it's like leveling up a character. You level up your character and you get more special moves, so you can start doing these really cool kicks and other weird moves. So as you do that by getting really good shots. Another cool thing is I got these two old couple to get together, because I helped them find each other, and two PP signs appear on both of their heads. That means you would get ultimate PP experience for taking a photograph. So you quickly, camera up, ka-ching! Good shot, and you go, great, and then you've got lots of pictures. So
can you just sort of hang around in the mall and do whatever you want?
If you wanted to, you could literally spend the whole time attacking zombies and not following any of the storyline, and just go around doing it again and again and again. And when the time's up, because you can look at the scoops, you get scoops of interesting story arcs that you might be able to take. And to look at those, you go like that, and you look at your watch, and your watch comes up, and you see the date and what time it is, and it keeps... All of a sudden, some storyline will change, and it'll like 7 o'clock. Like the first one, you get 7 o'clock, and it goes dark. And all of a sudden, you see the zombies, and they're freaking out outside, and their eyes start glowing in the dark, which is kind of creepy. But as that goes round, you've got to go back to the security room and go up to the helipad when your 72 hours are over, and then you go out, and that's the end of the game. But because you're leveling the character up, you either go to the toilet or you go to the security room to save. When you saved. If you die while you're playing the game, it gives you the choice. You can either lose everything you've done up to the last save point, go back and carry on, or you can save your experience so that the times you've leveled up, so that you say you've got to level 5 and you've done karate chop and backflip and you and this, that and the other, you can say, right, okay, I want to start the game again, but your character's still at the same level. You don't start from level 0 where all you've got is punch. So if you've got leveled up to the max, you could go back again and keep doing.
That's handy.
The other thing is, when you get to the end, if you didn't uncover all the story arcs, when you've completed the game, it basically is like dying. You get to choose to start the 72 hours again, start from the very beginning of the game, go through all the story arcs because you know what you're doing this time, but your characters are always at that level. And the only way to lose your level is to go, it says, please read the Microsoft handbook to do this. You have to go into the options, go to the memory, and actually delete the file off your memory unit, or start a new profile to actually start from level 0. So you're constantly leveling up, because basically you would never level up to the top level in 172 hours.
Right, question. Do the zombies level up with you?
No, they're always...
They're always dumb.
They're always dumb. It's not you're getting any stronger, you've got different moves and different abilities, and you'll get a bit faster and you'll get a bit stronger, but obviously there are some areas where there are so many zombies I'll just die, because you're trying to get through a doorway and it's swarming, and no matter how many, you just get overwhelmed and you'll get pinned to the ground and eaten. So having lots of moves that allow you to take on lots of zombies at the same time make it a little bit easier, and you'll get to some points where you really would like to be able to run faster. And there are some other things, like I went into the inside, they got this nice garden grounds in the middle of the mall, and I was having a hard time getting across because a couple of prisoners that escaped from the prison who had been infected managed to steal an army Jeep Humvee and are doing laps shooting zombies and anybody else that can get their hands on with the gun on top. So there are other things than zombies to actually fight against. And I have actually had a gunfight with some bloke that's got something to do with the conspiracy behind why the zombie virus got out. And he's completely normal, and he was shooting at me and this other bloke in the food court. So it's not just zombies you're fighting against. So leveling up does help. The other thing that is quite good is there is a, as well as 72 hours, you can unlock ultimate hours. So when you've got so much of it done, say when you've completed everything, instead of when you start your character again, instead of doing 72 hours, you could just stay in there forever. So if you want, once you've unlocked it all, you can just play the game constantly, and you don't have to worry about waiting for the helicopter to come. You can just stay in the mall constantly.
Do zombies respawn? Or can you kill them all?
There is always zombies coming into an area, but it's kind of like, if you kill all the zombies in the area, you stand there for a while, and all of a sudden a zombie will walk around the corner, coming from another part of the mall. And it would slowly populate, but it's got this crowding system that allows them to not just appear. But if you disappear and walk away for a while and come back, they filter their way through it, and there are a large amount. So I don't think you'd be able to kill them all. Otherwise, if you hardcored for a couple of goes through, you'd run out of zombies. But it keeps it to the point where you feel like, because the whole concept is that there's like 58, God knows how many people, it says on the game how many people live in this town, and pretty much all of them are zombies. So they're all slowly coming to this mall, and they're all slowly finding a way in. It's a bit like Dawn of the Dead. Majority of them are outside, which you can't get to, but slowly they are filtering in. But it is nice because there are sparse areas that aren't populated by zombies. So for a moment, I went up to a coffee bar upstairs, and they never went upstairs. They were mulling around downstairs. But if I went near the steps, they kind of sent you, and they start following you around places.
I see there's an achievement here. Defeat at least 53,594 zombies.
Yeah, you've got a zombie count of how many zombies you've killed.
And the first achievement for zombie kills is 1,000.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, man.
So you could go on a serious zombie fest. There was one door to the mall I couldn't get back into, and the only way I could get the zombies out of the way was to get a garden petrol lawnmower, start it up, and run along with the petrol lawnmower, mowing them over. The other one that was quite good, shopping trolleys. If you get a shopping trolley, you can run really fast and mow over zombies. You don't kill them, but you knock them out of the way to get past places. I found one of them walking around with an oxygen acetylene torches bottle. He just found it somewhere. And zombies like to hold stuff, and they'll walk around carrying things. So that's quite good, because if you've got a handgun, you could shoot that. Poof! I've also found in the hardware store the little gasoline canisters, you know, the ones like that you hook up to your like caravan. You can pick those up. Now, they'll crush a zombie's head in impact. But you throw one, you hear the dunk, 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 and you get the gun out, boom, and you can do a nice little explosion and take out quite a few zombies at the same time. I found a car in the car park, which you drove around, and you just plow loads of zombies over that. And I found a hog motorbike, like a chopper, to go around on and sort of thing. So, yeah, it's plenty of stuff, but there's always something there. You know, you're being attacked and you run out of a weapon. Oh, pick up some CDs, throw them at his head. Grab a coat hanger, hit him, hit him, hit him. Oh, pair of shoes, throw them at his head. You can get to the point where you're picking up real crap weapons, but the idea is a mall's not always filled with weapons. So you are picking up what's at hand. Oh, a chair. Oh, the till. Oh, a box. Oh my god, there's a plumbing fixture in it. Stab it in the head. You get to the point where you start panicking because you can go hand to hand with these things, but you just don't want to if there's too many, because you will start getting pummeled. I must say, I found myself in a point where I was trying to fight my way through, and I was like, right, drop all health, right, I need some orange juice, kept that, and I went in and went, 2x4, 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 went out, and I was just pummeling, 2x4 broken, next 2x4, and I'm just doing this to get through this massive wedge of zombies to get to this door, because only once I got to the door, there was a gap behind them, and they were sparsely populated, so you can get some serious panicking going on where you're really trying to give it what for. But it's cool though, because given the elements of why Dawn of the Dead was good, was the fact that it was a zombie film, but it was also a film about, imagine if you were locked in an American shopping mall, locked on the inside, and you have free roam to go play with everything they've got in there. So they're giving you that kind of ability that you can go around and go into all the shops, and you can go in and put on an Armani suit, or put on some shorts and t-shirt, and put on a stupid hat. You can even go and put on women's clothing, which is quite funny. He does this really stupid dance and then takes them off again. So He's just got this fun factor of being able to go around and play. A bit like Grand Theft Auto originally had with the third one, with the fact that you felt like you could go around and have fun in the game if you couldn't be asked to do a mission. So I think they've gone round to a different angle of doing that style of game without copying that sort of genre game.
Okay, I'm stealing your friend's copy of Dead Rising.
It is good. I'll bring it over for you to have a go on. It is a good game.
Because I only played the demo of it.
I'm fairly impressed with it. I'm going to buy it. And I must admit, the other great thing is it has come out on the Classic Edition now, so you'll be able to get it quite cheap, which
yeah.
is nice. This is the thing I liked about not having an Xbox 360 for a while. The games that I were waiting for to come out when mine broke are now starting to knock off as classic games now. So,
right, we've got one question.
Yeah.
Catherine wants to know why we're talking about Dead Rising.
Because I'm playing it at the moment. It's a new game to me, so I'm reviewing a new game to me.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I've never played it before.
So what would you give it out of 5?
Oh. Overall, I would definitely give it 4 out of 5. Because I can... It is limited, and to be honest, you have to be as... To love it as much as I love it. I love zombie films and zombie games, so...
I like zombies.
I think some people this will not appeal to, so it hasn't got enough good gaming in there to make everybody love it. But if you can get past the whole, it's just a third person run around, hack the crap out of as many zombies as you can, and you think that's cool, it is very good. I'm tempted to give it 5 out of 5, but I've got to leave the 5 out of 5 for the top games that are the all-time classics. So I give this 4 out of 5. Gameplay, absolutely amazing. Third person controls, nice swoop round camera, be able to use the second analog stick to be able to swing the camera around to check behind you and stuff, because now and again you'll hear this moan and you're like, you want to be able to see behind you. The action for being able to attack the zombies, much nicer. One of the things that is quite cool is you're not, because you're going to be like button bashing because you're wanting to swing locks, you're not using the triggers, you're actually using the X button. The right trigger is nice because it means that that's your throwing button, and your left trigger is always there to pull your camera out quick and then hit the X to take a photograph. So it's not like, oh, option, camera, get it out. If something funny happens really quickly in front of you, trigger, first person mode, swing the camera around, cha-ching, you've got the picture, and it's always saved, which you can always keep. So there's many good elements in there. So gameplay, definitely good. Graphics, not the top notch that you can see on the Xbox 360, but for a game that large, with that large environment, and that many people on that, it's pushing the limit of the capabilities of large amounts of people on the Xbox 360. The programming, absolutely sweet for this crowding system they've used to allow the zombies to crowd round and not look like they've been given specific orders on how to go here, how to go there. They move around as their environment creates. As a zombie fan, this is the ultimate zombie game that has come out, and I'm loving it.
Right, on with what I'm sure more people are waiting for.
Yeah.
Halo 2. Right, so this is sort of to finalise the semi-review we did last week.
Yeah.
The game scores 5 out of 5.
Yeah. It scores what it scores on the on. It released on Xbox. It is.
Yeah, a few things on multiplayer though. There are too many people doing the rocket, rocket modes.
I think this is because this has hit the PC market. You've got a lot of first-person PC people playing this now, not Xbox 360 players. So you're going to see probably a slight shift in gameplay of people that are online for this. So shame, but hopefully we get some more 360 players getting this on there.
Yeah, plus the lag is quite bad in multiplayer as well. There aren't enough dedicated servers in Europe.
Really?
Yeah, which sucks. So get some dedicated servers set up in Europe. Quick.
Mm. It looks... crisp though. It is nice on the multiplayer.
2.5-year-old Xbox One game ported to the PC.
Mm. Running off Vista. It's nice. Let's have a look at the box, because I must admit I didn't get to have a bit of a flick. See, I'm liking that, the fact that it's still the same artwork, but yet you've got the games for Windows, PC, DVD bar, but now the new blue bar which has got the Live logo on there, so you'll be able to distinguish what is Live.
It's Xbox Live.
Xbox Live. that pretty much is the same background as the
spinet
for the original box, isn't it?
The top one definitely is.
Yeah. Don't know about the lower boxes. No, because some of these are different because you've got the build environment one in there. But no, I'm liking the fact they've got the nice little hard to say. It's square boxes that have got opposing corners shaped, opposing corners rounded off, that they use for the games for Windows for the specifications, and they've used the same ones for the live bar, giving you that this is an online multiplayer for 2 to 16, achievements, friends and voice. So it's nice that they're bringing across the same information that they had on the Xbox, which made games much easier for people to look at and go, ah, it'll work with this, this and this. Which, once more of the games for Windows comes out and having the live feature, it's going to be good. I'm hoping that Xbox are really nice when it comes to outside developers wanting to integrate live into their games if they're going to design it for the PC. Because it means you're going to have some developers that do some really, really nice stuff on Xbox 360, and they want to be able to continue the same programming for multiplayer across to their PC versions. Because obviously there's quite a few PC games out there that are on the Xbox 360. And if anybody of the developers are like, we can do this really well with what the 360 is offering, now they've got the same thing for multiplayer and achievements as they would have on the PC. So for developers, it's making them a nicer opportunity for games to be developed similar if they're going to be on for the Xbox 360 as it is for PC. But as a game, it's definitely worth it. And the price.
Price is too much. It should be £20.
Yeah.
But it's still worth £35. So yeah, I mean, if you like Halo, get it, because it's good.
I must admit,
5 out of 5.
Yeah, I must admit, if you've got a nice spec PC and you're hardcoring your beta version of Halo 3 at the moment, to be honest, it's a good thing to go to. Get your dongle for your Xbox 360 controller, hook up to Vista, get Halo 2, start playing some serious multiplayer, keep yourself fresh in the action waiting for Halo 3 to come out.
Yeah, we need Halo 3 to come out on the PC at the same time.
That would be good. Oh my god, if they turn around and said, oh, by the way, we've got a special surprise. We are not going to release Halo 3 for the PC in the upcoming years. And they turn around and say, it is 100% definite, we will never release Halo 3 in the next couple of years for the PC. By the way, we're releasing it dual launch with the dual play on PC and Xbox 360 servers.
Sounds good.
They did that, people would just go nuts. That you basically, if you haven't got an Xbox 360 and you've got souped up Vista PC, you could go out and buy Halo 3 and play online with your friends. Now that would be sweet if they could do that. I must admit, it's a shame that they
could do that if they wanted to.
Port it across.
It's just the problem of Bungie being dumb.
Fair enough. They like the idea that it means that anything.
Because
that
Microsoft
could be tweaked,
would have just been sold on that.
Yeah. I must admit,
Bungie should just say, "Hey, we need $2-3 million. We need these people, and we could do this."
Yeah,
but Bungie are too busy. Oh, blah 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 blah.
If they did it for a Christmas launch, you know, give them a bit of time to get over releasing Halo 3, and then work on a port straight across the PC with how it is on.
Well, nowadays it's too late, and you need a third-party developer to do it, and it would take a year anyway.
Yeah.
But that's what they should do, because that would be better than Shadowrun.
Yeah. That it would
because
have been perfect one.
Shadowrun, they dumbed down the PC version for it.
Really?
The mouse isn't as accurate as it should be. To, like, level it with the console noobs. Which they shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Because I'm undefeatable with a mouse.
Yeah. It. But then again, it does give that edge.
You know, the first level on Halo 2, where, you know, the guy's rushing through the door ahead of you, I net them all down with the battle rifle, bang, 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 headshots, headshots, headshots. On the console, I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I must admit, it would be the ultimate game to have the live crossover so that people could play on servers similar time. And to be honest, there's no way of being able to do it with Halo too. But obviously, with the way that Microsoft's gone with the Xbox 360, if they can get Halo 3 on the PC out by next year and not do too many tweaks, and because the advantage with Halo 3, it's on the Xbox 360, marketplace downloads, updates, they can alter the game as they go along, as long as you've got the hard drive and the Xbox Live account, which means it'll be exactly the same as being able to update it for the PC, which means that really they shouldn't be doing the whole let's tweak it for the PC guys and add loads of cool stuff that we didn't have time to do. Let's get it out there now, crisp, clean, on the PC, running off Vista, with Live, same as it is with Halo 2, but have the joint servers and use the Xbox Live servers and joint them across so that you can have PC players playing alongside.
Needs 32 players at least as well.
Yeah.
Not none of this 16 crap. It's annoying.
That would just be the
option. They need to scale some of the maps up and have 32 players.
Mm.
But anyway, on with our main review.
Yep.
For the Zambuja's Bullet 2.
Absolutely amazing. Opening sequence is a bit weird with those four cars just going along.
Crap, if you ask me.
Yeah, I've seen better.
Music was terrible in it as well.
Yeah, the music is pretty awful. It's that bad, from my taste of music, that it actually made me go run into the den, grab my satchel, grab my iPod, and I plugged it into the USB slot at the front so I could listen to all my music, because I haven't got the
music in game, like in the menus, isn't too bad, but the intro music's crap.
Racing music is just getting a bit annoying, so I'm listening to my own music.
So far, nothing has topped the PGR2 intro video.
Mm.
If you can remember what that was.
Yeah, I just about remember. I must admit, I like the Gran Turismo 3 intro, where it's got feeder music on it with a see, that was a great intro because you have the whole inside the engine as it was powering up and it was powering up and you were going through the like a CG car inside it and it powered up, the car came out and then you cut into it. You know, they need to get something where it's got a little bit more pizzazz in it, where that was just a bit too much going around. It felt like it was a Batman movie. I must admit, Project Gotham Racing 3's entry was much better.
What was it?
I'm trying to remember, but it's much better.
PGR2 was a really awesome one though, because it was the first game that had the Enzo Ferrari in it.
Yeah.
And it was just like a zoomed up close up of that. And it was really good.
But yeah, game. I'm loving the orange context all the way through and the feel of it. I've only had a little go on arcade. First thing I did was arcade. I had a quick race, got a feel for the cars, and I was kind of like...
I've got four more... No, three more tracks to do on arcade, then I finished it.
I've just been going on
career. Exhibition, I've still got time travel to do.
I've had a go on career, you know, up to level 10. You're level 11.
Level 10 or 11.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. Fair enough, I've had to do it on novice because you've seen what my driving skills are like on it. But it's good because I feel like I'm training myself and I'll be able to go up in level later because I'm on novice. But the good thing about it is you start on a novice, but the only reason novice is a preset to all of the difficulties. You know, if you've got the ABS on, if you've got the full track telling you where to go, the AI level of the opponent's cars, the damage, tire wear. So you can start changing all those, so I can build myself away from novice and go up as I feel my confidence raises with the racing skill. And with the book, with the limited edition box set, I've had a little flip through that, learning about how to go around corners and my braking and stuff like that. And it's nice because for once I'm playing a game where I don't have to...
Geometry, mate. You just need geometry skills.
Yeah. I feel like I'm playing a game that does not require my gaming skills to get me around. Playing Project Gotham Racing.
Well, you can just hire a driver to race for you if you just want to goof around with your cars.
What do you mean?
The computer can drive for you.
Really?
You pay the computer money to drive for you.
I never even realized.
So if you're really shit, you can just like goof around with your cars and all that sort of stuff and just ignore the racing bit altogether.
Hell. It is a nice...
But it is expensive. Too. You know, some of the drivers take up 70 to 100% of the winnings. So.
Yeah. So you have to rely on selling your cars.
But it's good for the endurance races.
Yeah. If you're not really got the time to play, you could get a driver to do it for you. But like in the marketplace, you know, being able to sell your cars.
The auction house.
Yeah, and the fact that it's connected with the online system and you'll be able to take pictures and upload them to ForzaMotorsports.net.
Yeah, if you go to portalforums.net, I've got a thread on there for posting any Forza pics. Which is cool. I've got a picture of my Volkswagen Golf GTI, which is my Uber car. I've never lost them. It's D class, but it's the very top of D because I've tweaked it as much as I can without pushing it into C. And yeah, I just dominate in that car.
Mine's a D class car, and it's been spec'd all the way up to B.
Oh.
I can handle it quite well. I made sure that I didn't spec up too much. I kept making sure the brakes were specking up with it, so that I can always brake when I go around stuff.
Yeah, so you can actually slow down.
Yeah. But I'm liking your South Park car you bought online. That's quite cool.
Yeah, I need to get Mario and Sonic car as well.
I might have to have a go and start making a bit more stuff on it now that I've seen some ideas of what's possible. I'm going to have to, now I've got out back on live, I'm going to have to start making something that's very cool. Start sketching out some ideas and put some on. I wanted to do a Wii remote, like going over the bonnet and the roof and then doing the side front of the Wii where it's lit up with the blue going down the side, which I thought would be quite cool. But we're also going to try and do a Gamercast one and get it out there. So I'm going to probably have to spend some time and do Gamercast.
Well, we could just have a playing car and just put it on.
Yeah, Gamercast stuff. I know what I might be able to do. If I can, I'll use my phone, hook up to the wireless router, go onto my blog and go to the first entry on my blog, which has got that thing I drew of us in South Park characters. And if I spend some time, I might be able to get us in South Park characters on the side of the car.
That would be awesome, do that.
Yeah, with Gamercast.
Yeah, do that.
That would be good for advertising. Because that's the ultimate thing, is advertisement on your car. It's not just, this is not Pimp My Ride. Fair enough, I pimp my ride, my car up, it's got blue alloys and it's all metallic gold.
Because in Forza 1, you didn't have any text.
Yeah.
You would have to make the text out of the shapes. But at least in this, it's
got loads of different fonts.
You hammer your font on there, you shrink it down to say 0.2, 0.2 size, move it there, move the next one down, and so on and so on.
Mm.
And it looks good.
Yeah.
Although, all I've done with text is stamped P's all over the car, and then I delete it all.
I'm liking the stamp. I got bored. The stamp feature is really nice.
Although I was busy stamping it all around the car. And it was, I had a long list of these things, of the, the decals or whatever it's called. And I thought, oh, crap, I've got to delete all that crap now.
Mm. I'm liking the fact that you can clone across from one side of the car to the other. It's a nice feature because some of these are so detailed. And you can also load...
That was the thing that bugged me in Forza 1, getting both sides of the car to look the same.
You can load up... a group of decals. You can save the decals as a group and then load them up and put them on some.
Yeah, so
path.
You could literally just save the decals that make up the text or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is
and move them as a group somewhere else. Even if it's on the same side, you can load up a group. You've got a load of decals for say that makes up a face, and you want the same face on the same side somewhere else. You can load up that group and then reload it, because otherwise all you'd have to do is copy one decal at a time, which is a pain in the butt. So if you've got lots of circles, triangles and shapes to make up this anime character's face, and you want to have the same one over the other side but you wanted to put a pair of glasses on them and change it slightly, you'd be able to load up those decals and move them to another side. So that's quite cool. I'm liking the fact that you can slide it around. It's so easy. Unlike Need for Speed, where it's kind of these are the ones that go over this area and these are the ones that go over this area, you're kind of like, I want it over here and it's only this big, but if I put it right by the front wheel arch, I can stretch all the way to the bumper and onwards. So it's really nice, with all the decals of the sponsors as well, meaning that if you wanted to, you could put some nice flames on your car, and then cover it in sponsorship things and have a car that looks like it should be in NASCAR or something. So
yeah.
It gives you that real sponsorship feeling, as well as the fact you've got live on there and stuff.
If they want me to put their ads on my car, they better give me some money.
And that's why we're going to put our ads on our car.
We're allowed to do that.
I'm going to have to do a GamerCast sponsorship car. Get Portal Forums on there. And
what we need to do is just do our GamerCast car up, buy like a few cars in the buy a few cars, and then stamp them on all those and or shove them in the auction place.
Mm.
Although so far I've managed to sell zero cars in the auction.
People just want stuff that looks like lots of time has been spent on it. It looks really cool.
Yeah, they don't want my crappy stock cars. For like crappy stock car plus a markup, they'd rather just buy it in the garage, which sucks.
Yeah.
But at least my car has a history. It won a race. Unlike their car.
I must admit, some people can put some really ultimate cars on there by the fact that you could buy not a top-end spec car, a low-end spec car that people would only get if you bought it, and you can't buy it off the first purchase. So go up to like C-spec, spend some money, do it up to A-spec, and then do an absolutely nice body kit on it, and put all the nice graphics on there that would quality time on there, then you could put it on there and sell it for lots of money, because people who save up a lot of money and want a nice car to be racing on live with will pay the money for a souped up nice handling car that's been spec'd up to racing spec with all the nice wheels, alloys, and to have a nice paint job on it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So what do you actually think of the game?
It's absolutely amazing. I'm liking
it. Yeah, you already said that.
What do you mean, the racing part of it?
Yeah.
It's good. I read one part in the book that made me realise this is all about, you've got to race. It's not like I was saying, you don't use your arcade skills as a gamer to be able to play this game. You know, 5 minutes on PGR3 and I'm back in the game and I'm racing and power sliding around corners. But this, you've got to know how to power slide to do it. It's not like oversteer, accelerate, brake.
Well, you don't want to power slide.
Yeah, you want to brake. Break into the corner, accelerate out.
Geometry, man. Power sliding isn't optimal geometry.
Yeah. So.
Or whatever it is.
This is proper racing, and it's helping you be a proper racer. I don't like. Like, I like PGR3 because I'm a rally driver. I like going around a muddy track, oversteer, going around. I don't like the whole really fast racing cars, down gears, up gears, down gears. I don't like Formula 1 because it was never done really well. This is done really well. For someone with my racing skills can actually get on with this game.
Well, it scales really well. I mean, I play it with assists on. I play it with the AI on normal. And yeah, I mean, I'm above average in driving skills, in that I can beat the hard on with all the assists off if I want to.
Yeah.
But the AI scales really well. The hard AI is awesome. Actually, it's not as shit in it.
Beat you.
Winds me up. But yeah, I mean, it scales. Like, if you want to play it like some sort of noob, you can. Or if you want to play it properly, you can as well.
It allows anybody to be at their own
driving. Or if you just want to hire the computer to race you do that.
Yeah.
Although it's not as good as Forza 1, because Forza 1 had the Drivatar, which you trained. This is just like a generic computer guy. So that's a step backwards.
I haven't played online against anyone. Have you had it going online?
No. Brutus has been doing the online career, though.
Oh, right, there's an online career. That's cool. Like,
so you earn money like doing it online.
Yeah, like Project Gotham Racing did an online career, didn't they?
Yeah, sort of.
Didn't do it that much. I just kept playing online with people. But it's cool, though, because you've got a bit more. I feel like you're not going to get into that situation where because it was only the rare cars that were able to be unlocked in Project Gotham Racing. Everybody, if you were going into an A-class, everybody went for the Ferrari because it was the fastest spec car out of the lot. But at least with this,
there's a bit of variety, because you can spec up a slower car to perform as well.
Yeah.
So the cars are all different. So it's not just a question of 50 F50s or
exactly
hammering down to the corner.
It's a track of red blobs going around. The other thing is, if everybody finds out which is the fastest spec car possible to buy, for like say A class. Everyone's doing A class, and the fastest sports car you can buy on A class, done up. If everybody has that, no car will still be the same because everybody can customize the body and the paint job to the car. So everybody can have individual cars, and now your car is a statement with racing online. It's not about which the biggest alloys and does my car look really good in the rain because I've got neons underneath. This is about I've got a tuned up £1 million sports car, but I put a really cool graphic on it.
And I just went straight off at the first corner because I suck.
there goes Adam. I have crashed into many walls since I started playing it. Only when break, I get angry.
Man.
Only
break.
When I get angry when I'm behind a car.
Yeah, I hate following someone. It's annoying. Mm. Especially close because, you know, you see their brake lights just flicker on and you're just like, and then, you know.
You go into a skid and you end up going off.
Well, no, I didn't go off. It just cost me some time.
Or I pile in the back of them, nudge them out the way.
I have simulation damage on, so I don't do that.
No.
It's too risky. It could cost me the race.
Yeah, I've been stuck in a race at the moment because I keep coming off when I'm going round because I'm having to
break.
I'm doing it slow. No, it's because I'm in the last bit and I can't overtake because I'm driving a crappy Honda Civic that's not tuned. I don't want to customize it because I don't like it. It's not a very good paint job. If I was going to have a Honda Civic, I'd buy one and do it up from scratch. But this has already got decals on that I can add on the top and I can change the colour, but the colour is only above the decals. All the decals cover from the window downwards. They cover all the paint and you can't remove them because it was a one car. You probably got it as well.
Yeah, it does actually annoy me how you win all these cars and it just clutters up your garage.
Alright, they're just there as extra money to sell on.
It's annoying, I wish I didn't have them. Just give me some more money.
Alright, I think I might sell some of my bought cars.
I put two of them in the auction house and neither of them sold.
Well, you can sell them back to the garages.
Yeah, but you get a frag off on it. I'd rather sell it on the auction place, because once you sell or buy 10 cars, you get an achievement. I'm achievement hunting.
Yeah, you want all the achievements.
I won't get all the achievements, not in this game.
No?
It's too hardcore.
Yeah.
There's the hardcore achievement, which is beat the AI on hard with all assists off. I've tried that a couple of times and I've failed.
The Gleason thing is, the spec for the playability of this game is really large. Like we said, you can go from novice to not being any good at all and still having a hard chance of being able to beat someone and slowly learning and it actually teaching you how to do this all the way up to the point where you are the ultimate. You know, you kick ass from Project Gotham Racing 3, you complete Forza with greater ease, you can come to this and you're still going to get a challenge. You're still going to have to work your ass off to get to the end. So.
But the trouble is, it's because it's a simulator, the harder you work, the slower you go. You know, if you're faffing around with the controller all the time, you're losing time.
Yeah.
So it's, you
one
know,
thing that I wouldn't mind
when, you're losing, you tend to, in PGR3, you push harder.
Yeah.
And in this, you can't push harder because you'll lose it.
Yeah, and you'll come off and you've got to keep a calm head at all times.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to have a go
break,
at Craig's,
always break.
Because Craig's got the Xbox 360 steering wheel. Now, he's been playing with Project Gotham, and he said it's all right for going on the Nürburgring because you've got to do things, but when you're playing short tracks because you're wanting to do the power sliding, all you got to do is flick with the analog stick. You have to go, like that, and he says it's bloody hard work on that. So, for something where you're not having to flick back and forth, and you want
unless
a bit more
got
smoke,
a car with way too much like overtime.
And you want that little bit of control to be able to keep that nice, clean line going through. I'm tempted. I must admit, it's £90, so it's a lot of money for...
Yes, it is a lot of money.
You're going to have to hardcore that game to want to keep using it.
I mean, there are cars in Forza which just oversteer hugely, which should be doing the same thing with.
Yeah.
Damn, crappy cars. Especially when your rear tyres, you know, I sometimes race with all the telemetry up, especially for the tyres, so I can, like, see which tyre is just about to lose, and you just see it lose, and it's like, no, my tyre lost friction, and it's just... and then it costs you like half a second on the corner.
Yeah.
Just because that tyre loses grip.
It's that good. I must admit, in comparison to Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo bumper cars. Bump.
Gran Turismo 3 was okay.
Gran Turismo 3 was a disappointment.
Could have been better.
It didn't have like as much stuff as number 2.
But when 4 came out, it just felt like a garage of cars you didn't want to ride, and it's all about collecting cars and about them racing, and you, it's like, back again, it's like you feel like you have to do lap after lap after lap trying to make money and do your car up and stuff. I don't know if this is the same, but this, you know, I liked playing good old Sega GT. So that's much better than Gran Turismo. I like that.
Yeah, I like Sega GT as well.
And that's the thing. Project Gotham was a step back, and it's like, this is a sports car game, hardcore, racing round tracks, but it's more arcadey, a bit more fun. This is more simulation, but this is pure simulation, and it feels more realistic when going around stuff. I'm definitely a big fan, and it looks absolutely amazing. I must admit, the camera controls just as good as being able to control for Project Gotham Racing 3. Still looking forward to number 4 coming out.
Yeah, number 4's got St. Petersburg in it.
Oh. I can imagine that playing Project Gotham Racing 4, we're just going to kick ass if we just keep playing Forza 2 all the time, because if you do sim games, you go straight to arcade. You play race them properly, you probably do really well compared to arcadey skid round a corner. But fair enough, you still have to do the same slow in, fast out at corners on Project Gotham Racing 3, so it's not exactly like we're saying it's that arcadey. It is a good game. But this is more simulation, this is more...
That's my car.
You're going to slide off the road. It's a nice car.
I like the paint job.
Mm. Did you choose the red around the front?
I don't think so.
No, that's part of the normal grill. I like the whole just the splatter of chocolate. It's like a chocolate car.
Yeah, I've actually changed that. It looks different now. It's a like a thick black line going right across the top.
Minimalistic. I went OTT on mine.
I mean, you know, you've got the black thing just there, just going up to the window. Oh, I've changed the thing there as well. Spoiler.
Yeah, because I've got that one that's there. That yellow, that one there. You'll have it as well. Because that
yellow one with the black bonnet.
I don't think you can customize the paint job on that one. I've got the Skyline, and that one you can't customize. Some of them you can customize paint, and some of them you can't. So,
It's got a few different modes. It's got arcade mode with exhibition races, where you can pick a car and just race against the computer. You've got time trials with a fixed car, and it's just time trials.
Mm. And free race, where you can just have a free race, and if you wanted to pick up a car, just race around and not give a damn and just practice.
Yep.
Tuning of the car.
What about it?
The detail is lovely. Nice graphics showing you where you're going. And the one thing I like, wherever you go, you look in the right-hand box, right at the bottom, I think it's got the yellow Y button with the nice word saying
toggle
help. So if you're unsure, why would I want to change
this?
Oh,
that, right, yeah, okay.
You know, you go into the...
Usually why is toggle, because it toggles the performance things.
Yeah, when you're looking at the car. But when you go into the specs, I think it means help. So if you're going in to change the specs, it's kind of like, okay, so this is...
What does that mean? Yeah. What does all my funky gears things mean? What does that mean?
And why would you want to do this? And he explains it, so you're like, oh, right, so if I want to... Yeah, okay.
Oh, right, so if this is a race with lots of corners... I'm going to put my gears so they accelerate more.
Yeah.
I want to put more acceleration in because I don't care about the top speed.
Yeah.
I just need acceleration.
Yeah. So that is...
And that will get you a couple of seconds.
That is really nicely there. You can start practicing. If you're on a track, this one track you need to get gold on, you just keep practicing on the track, practice the thing. You can test the car out, benchmark it out, check everything that's running right, test it, drive it. So it is really nice that you can start really tuning the cars when you get good. So... The elements are always there for practice.
It is a bit overwhelming to start with, though.
Yeah, and you don't need it necessarily. You can get a well-tuned car from purchase, buy the parts, put them all in, change the engine, the lot.
Yeah, my Golf GTI with the engine upgrade and turbo would go to like A-class.
Mm.
I thought, I don't think this car can handle that.
Yeah. But the good thing is, once you purchased it, if you find that it's too much, you can either purchase something a little bit lower and work your way up to it, or go back to the standard parts you originally had and wait till you can afford a new part, then purchase that one. And then when you're ready, upgrade. You've all got more bought. Once you bought your last part, switch them all on, and you've got a Class A car that you bought from first Class D. So the nice thing about it is, if you really love the new Mini, or you like your Golf GTI Mark II or something like that, you can get it up.
Spec it up so you can compete a bit better.
Yeah. So you don't have to keep buying newer and newer cars. The only reason you want to buy a lot of cars and spec them up is to group them up for the different types. You know, American classics, four-wheel drive cars, forward drive cars, rear-wheel drive cars, and stuff like that. So there's different, a bit like how it was in Gran Turismo, with the fact that you've got different races that have got specifications of what type of car you can enter.
Yeah, so like a rear and front engine or mid-engine and all that.
Yeah. So with that, you've got that ability that you need to have certain cars.
Oh, that's annoying, because I have to buy a car to finish the first category of career races.
Yeah,
I need a heavier car.
Yeah. But the good thing about it, it tells you if the current car you're using is usable. It tells you if you have a car in your garage that is usable, and also the fact that it tells you if you've got at the right level, because there's some at the first, the second racing segment that I will never be able to race in, even if I've got the car, because you've got to be level 30. So you're going to have to progress a bit more, then go back to those races and do the later ones. So there's always something there to keep you going in the career mode, so definitely is cool. I'm going to be interested to have a go on playing live, so...
Yeah, we'll have to have a game tonight.
Yeah.
So we can get some achievements. Don't tell anybody we're doing that.
Yeah.
If you lap me, I'll let you lap me. Which, whatever. That's what we need to do with Halo 2 as well.
Yeah.
Get all our achievements. In your face, Pete, with like 15,000 odd, we're catching up. We're harvesting every achievement we can, and we're cheating to do it.
Hardcore.
Although I think we need Rudis and Catherine to all have Halo 2 as well, so we can get like a triple kill. Just have a rocket, put all you three together, bang, and swap places.
Yeah.
That's so cheating. Other people listening who have Xboxes, do not do that, because it is cheating and it's bad manners.
But if you want to help, please do.
So Forza out of 5.
Right.
Shall I just say it?
I want to say one thing. As a racing game genred game, for the racing community, it's a 5.
Well, duh.
It's a definite 5. And I must admit, I'm close to saying it's a 5 as a general game at the moment, because it is like the hottest thing. The only thing that I can see...
You compare it to other games in its category. That's how you always compare games.
It's a 5 then. If you compare it to category, its own category, it's a 5.
Yeah, 5.
I'd put it up there. It's the Halo 3 of racing games.
Yeah.
I can't say anything. I won't accept any disagreement on that. It's the Halo 3 of racing games. Because it has just got ultimate. And to be honest, it only seems like Forza 3, either on the Xbox 360 or the next Microsoft console, would be the only thing that would actually better it, because it would be that plus more. And to be honest, with the way that games have been working on the Xbox 360, they're always being upgraded if there's anything to be tweaked. So it can only get better. But I'm bloody impressed. The thing I'm liking about it is the connectivity. The fact that you can sell cars, you can buy cars, you can upload stuff to the website, and you log in with your gamer scorecard.
Well, plus
exactly
like
the same as you do with Bungie's website.
Plus, like PGR2, PGR3, and Forza 1, you've got scoreboards for every individual event. So I noticed that Super Gojin is below me in like every single one I've looked at. But to be fair, Rudis is kicking my ass, but I think Rudis has a higher spec car.
Because it does all the times for everyone.
Covers all classes.
Yeah. Which is absolutely amazing. I do like that. Because I like that you can click to and look at just your friends list and see what everyone's doing time-wise on that sort of thing. So, it is good. I am fairly impressed with it. It could have done with a bit better music, but the great thing is...
Could do a better graphics, better sound. I mean, you could always improve it.
Everything can always be improved.
But gameplay, top.
But yeah, say again, music, I'm not a big fan of it, but this is a game that
there is an in-game music though, is there?
No, no, racing. It was just the normal music that was playing all the time. I was getting on my nerves.
The menu music.
I don't know if there actually is any music playing when you're racing.
I don't think there is.
Well, anyway, I'm quite happy to plug my iPod in and listen to all my music off of that, because I haven't managed to get the software onto Vista, because I thought it would come with it to allow me to connect to my Xbox 360 up.
What?
Well, when I turn my Xbox 360 on, the only way I can get any listen to music off my Xbox 360 is off Media Player. I haven't downloaded any of that stuff that I had on.
Don't need to. Go to Windows Media Player 11.
Yeah.
And go to Tools Options. Network, maybe? No. Library. Configure Sharing. And Share Media.
Well, no, that's the thing. You know, like, you tell it to, you know, when you set it up when we had XP, and you go onto the computer, and it says, go to this website to download the software.
Yeah, you don't need to.
And it says, have you done it? Okay. When I go to find my computer, all it found was Sarah's, because she's got some software on there. I can't find my PC. It won't find it.
Check your firewall.
Yeah, I might have to
accept. You need to make sure that
it's accepting it. I found it on the network, because I was networking our PCs together, so we've got share folders to pass stuff to each other off the computers.
Yeah,
and I found my Xbox 360 on there.
Media Connect uses different things. It's, where is it?
Because I got the Media Extender, it's all set up.
It's on there somewhere.
Yeah. I have to have a bit of a play. So Vista's already got it installed, they've just got to activate and get past
them. They built it into Windows Media Player 11.
Because yeah, I also remember that I used to be able to go on and look at my pictures and stuff to get pictures as the backdrops.
Here we go, let's set this up, see what happens.
But, ooh. Other PC users.
So yeah, that's how it works basically. You can select what things you want to share and so on.
Ah, because it's Media Player, you can share the pictures through it, so it'll allow me to look at all the pictures through that. Yeah, I understand that.
Comprende?
So Media Player will allow me to share my pictures, music and videos on my Xbox 360.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. I'll be able to do that now, because it means that I won't have to open up Media Player, because obviously I can't run Media Player, play music, and play a video game at the same time.
Yeah, cool. they just merged Media Connect into Windows Media Player. So that's why you can't find it, like, somewhere else.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I say that's it.
Yep, feedback can go to feedback@gamercast.net, or can be left on the blog at gamercast.net, or you can post stuff on portalforums.net. And we've also got the Ford's car thread over there.
Yeah,
if you want to post pictures of your car.
We'd like to see some pictures of your car.
Because so far, I'm winning.
I'm going to put mine on there, which looks crap. And I'm going to have to spend some time and do some really cool stuff. I'm going to have to get some inspiration. I might have to do a Master Chief one.
Do a Comrade Lenin one.
Yeah. You won't let me borrow the poster.
Take a picture of
it. Yeah, I have to come around the digital camera and take a picture of old Lenin. I must admit, I don't want to be good. I have to do a Lego one. That'd be quite cool.
Lego Star Wars one.
Yeah, Lego Star Wars.
With Chewbacca on it.
Yeah.
Woo. So we will see everyone next week.
Yeah, same time.
Same place.
Different week.
Yeah. Woo.
Woo. Catch you guys later.